I'm sure you heard of the movie What Women Want, right? And I know some of you are saying, oh, I don't know that movie. I'm sure you have. You know somebody who taught you, brought you into that. Maybe a girlfriend, your spouse, partner, somebody made you watch that movie before in the past. But imagine if we knew exactly what salespeople want. I mean, you know what you want, besides more leads and more money. What if there was a way as a leader to really grasp or get inside of the head of your seller and understand what they want, but not just what they want, but what they want right now in 2021? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got the secret ninja, the secret genius, the secret genie for you today. And my friend Dan Frantasia is going to tell us this, and you're going to understand why he knows so much about what salespeople want right now. It's a great episode. Let's go ahead and check it out. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome to another great episode of the Sales Evangelist Podcast here on TSC TV on YouTube. I'm your host, your coach, your mentor, the one and only Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the Sales Evangelist. And we're going to evangelize today some principles to help you understand what sellers want right now. If you're a sales leader and you're trying to recruit people for your team and you're like, man, nobody is coming on our team, we're going to tell you exactly why. If you're trying to figure out what can you do to get your sellers to be excited to sell, and you feel like you can't really get them there, we're going to tell you exactly why. And if you feel like you need to get some more money, well, we're not going to go into all of that today, but we're going to explain that in some other episodes. But listen to my good friend, Dan Frantasia. He is the CEO of a company called Treeline Inc., and they work particularly with sales organization to help them get the right sales talent. Ladies and gentlemen, he knows a thing or two. He's seen the data. Let's hear what Dan has to say that salespeople want right now. Dan, welcome back to the show, man. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. I mean, of course, when we're going to tackle a topic like this, we got to talk to someone like you. What are we going to talk about? We've been focusing, as I mentioned yesterday, gang, early this week, on Wednesday, with the launch of this episode. This series is focused on finding new jobs or finding your new sales job. And some of you may be in a role and you're perfectly happy. However, one of my friends always, his brother taught him, he said, the best time to look for a job is when you have a job. And I thought that was like so counterintuitive. I'm like, why? You already have a job, but it makes total sense. You have options. So if you're brand new or you have a job, I want you to listen to some of the things that Dan's going to be talking about today. What are sales professionals looking for in 2021? But Dan, I bragged about you at the beginning. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about you?
Sure. My name is Dan Frantasia from Treeline Incorporated. I started the company in March of 2001. So we've been in, as a matter of fact, we just celebrated our 20th year anniversary in this past March. Thank you. Yeah. In 20 years, we've helped, you know, change the lives and advance the careers of over 3,000 sales professionals. So that's really cool. We feel great about that. You know, Donald, it's just a good feeling. And we, you know, our specialty is we specialize in the career advancement of sales professionals exclusively in sales. But we really work with them to help them advance their career, both professionally as well as financially.
Awesome, man. Well, fantastic. I dig it. And I continue to wish you great success as you guys are going down that path. And I think this is why you work so well for this topic. You're frontline. You're seeing what salespeople are saying. You're seeing what employers are saying and what's working and what's not working. And I want to be able to help our audience today for them to walk away feeling like, man, Dan just gave me so much information. I felt like I should have been paying him for the advice that he's giving. So we want to hear, what are sales professionals looking for in 2021 if we are a sales leader listening to this podcast?
Well, I can tell you, if you're a sales leader listening, it's important to know a few things. Ever since the pandemic, you know, most environments are now virtual. And so if you are telling your sales team or your team that they're going to be coming back to work at a certain time, maybe it's in the fall, or maybe it's even next winter. Realize one thing, they may not be telling you, but most of those employees are likely considering new opportunities because they're so used to the virtual environment. They've made it work. It's a success, and they want to continue down that path. And so if you're a company that is looking to bring employees back into the office, you may want to reconsider that, Donald. It is a risky venture right now. It's driving candidates to us. So we can see it, right? They're coming to us. Their companies don't know, but they're asking us, you know, what does the market look like? What options do I have? I'd like to consider new ones.
Because if you can, if I can work for a company like Google and I can live in South Florida and do that, and they're pretty good benefits, and I don't have to drive, you know, 45 minutes down to Boca to go to an office. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'll be pretty happy with that. And I think the critical piece there, where a lot of employers don't get it, and you can answer and you can help me out with this, is because they're so used to one way that they don't realize this other way, and that you can still be as effective. And I think one of the greatest things, and I'd say this all the time, one of my mentors pointed it out, the pandemic just really put us like 5 years in the future. It's things that were going to happen anyways, but it's happening now sooner. And that's because if a sales rep can get the job done, then by all means, and for sure, he or she should be working from home, or should have the capability of doing the flexible schedule. But if they're not maximizing that same time, I think that's a whole different thing. But we don't want people like that anyways. I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah. Oh, you are dead on. So when the pandemic hit, we were a brick and mortar company. We were in the office every day. You remember? We were suit and tie. We were a bullpen, high energy, a lot of fun, very dynamic. The pandemic hit and we went straight virtual. And then we voted as a company. You know how our culture works. But we voted to stay virtual. So we switched gears. We basically adopted that last year. And it's been crazy successful. You know, we've hired 2 people in Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina. I mean, we are hiring remotely, and that's exactly how our business model works. Now, that said, with many of our clients, they disagree with us. but we can see the difference, and we have data that can show you right now. We're doing searches. We have one software company that, no matter what, they want the people in the office. We have another software company that doesn't. It's not required. They can be anywhere in the United States. The amount of volume that the virtual organization is getting compared to the company that wants people here in Massachusetts is striking. I mean, it is amazing. As a matter of fact, we're going to hire for this company in Massachusetts that's brick and mortar that wants people in the office. But I think we sent them maybe three individuals. The other one has seen 30, right? So it's night and day. I mean, you don't even have access to the same talent anymore. And so as a result, you're just losing because new up and coming sales professionals, senior level sales professionals, enterprise sales professionals, they're accustomed to it. They're used to it. They are finding success with a virtual environment. To go back for them, it's really challenging.
With that, like, what is it that's causing what's the pros and cons from your standpoint with having a brick and mortar people coming inside versus being remote?
I think I think for many companies, they believe the cons are you won't build the same camaraderie out of the office. Mm-hmm. Now, for us, for our company, we found it to be incredibly successful. I mean, we use GoToMeet. We're on every Monday morning for 45 minutes. And then every day thereafter, we start our morning with a meeting, checking in, doing a quick huddle and making sure we're on the same page. And then we're doing all these ton of events. Last month, we did a wine tasting. That was cool, by the way.
So did you send everybody a bottle or something like that?
They send these tall, skinny 4 bottles.
Gotcha.
And then you get someone, a person to go through the different wines with you. But super cool, by the way. That's worth it. But I think most companies feel and they fear that you just won't be able to build that culture. Unfortunately, so many people they're kind of done and fed up with commuting, right? They're done running into the city. I mean, look at California. The 2 toughest markets for us to recruit in is New York and San Francisco. And some of the challenges around that is, one, it's because compensation. Most companies aren't prepared as to what they're going to have to pay in those 2 regions. But 2, it's commute. Like you could have a candidate that's on a map, looks like they're right down the street from the office, and they'll tell you that they will not make that commute because while it looks like it's only 8 miles, it takes them, an hour and 10 minutes to get to the office.
I was mind blown by that when I was out for an event, and I think going from the airport to where we were, I mean, literally, like, it was something like that, like less than 10 miles. It was an obscene amount of money, and it took a ridiculous amount of time. I think they went to Mars and back by the time I got from the airport too.
So companies, they struggle with that. They think the camaraderie is dead, but it's not. There are so many different ways. There's so much technology to bring us all together. So that's number 1. Yeah. The benefit to it, though, is look at us. We're competing in Boston, right? So Boston's not New York or California, but we were, competing with a lot of technology companies. We're running the technology belt right here. So we'd hire and we'd train. We'd lose a person after a year because we just couldn't compete with all these technology companies and the amount of money they were willing to spend. As a result, from a labor ratio, a labor effectiveness ratio, our company is killing it right now because now we can hire around the United States, anywhere in the United States, right? We're not competing with technology companies that are down the street that are recruiting our people. And so we have access to more talent, individuals that have been doing this longer. They're more senior. I mean, our model right now has never been more effective or more successful. It's just, it is awesome and refreshing. We just have access to so much more talent instead of, you know, 15 miles from the office. We could only focus on people 15 miles from the office. So I can't say that we always got the best talent.
Exactly. What would you say like are some of the cons now with the virtual standpoint?
Like, well, I think it's easier to pick off your employees.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, because you know, you're not competing with companies that are a certain, you know, radius around your office. Mm-hmm. Now you're competing with companies in California, in Texas, in Illinois, in Florida, in New York, right? They can now, everyone can recruit across the United States. So if you're a salesperson, I bet you you're getting more calls from recruiters now than you have ever had before in your entire career. And that's because now everyone is trying, anyone can call you, right? If they have a virtual environment, it doesn't matter where you're located. And so as a result, you're going to have more options. It's a good time.
Great time for a seller.
It's a good time for a seller.
What are some other things that we need that sellers are aware of, sellers that employers should be aware of that salespeople want when it comes to this environment of 2021?
Well, number one, comp is still, you know, just because you're looking in different regions doesn't necessarily mean you can lowball a candidate because you're going to lose them. So comp is still very, very important. Virtual, as we mentioned too, I think that's a must. If you have a hybrid, fine, but you have to be virtual. I just saw someone post recently. I don't have it up here. They did a random post on, I think there were five options. You know, it was like love if you want to work, if you want to stay remote, you know, thumbs up or clap if you want to work 2 days from home or something like that. And if you looked at all of them, the top three were like fully remote, 1 day in the office, and the next one was 2 days in the office. And I think the fourth option was like 3 days in the office, and the fifth option was just work in the office completely. And all you saw in responses was one, two, and three. There was nothing else. You know, so that's what, I mean, that's what people want. I mean, they've done it. They've done it successfully. So I think for companies, they have to be prepared if they are only stuck on that one mentality. And I get it because we were in the same spot. You're renting space. You're spending the money. I get it. There's cost there. And as a result, because you're spending the money, you feel like, well, if I'm spending the money, I should have people in the office, right? I need people in the office because I'm spending the money for it. But it's the wrong mentality. You know, it's transitioning where everyone's moving in this direction, as you had mentioned. So if you want to get the best talent, be open-minded. Talk about people across the United States because you're going to find some really good talent out there.
So we talked about compensation. We talked about that. Do you find like, and I know a lot of these employers are saying like the, you know, the idea of the bullpen or the idea of, well, let's just back up. Are certain jobs more advantageous for a remote setting than there are other jobs that are more, that maybe may not be? And I don't know if I'm making sense with that, but are there certain roles?
I mean, I think there's some risks, right? So for example, let's look at like the SDR, BDR role, right?
Sure.
I mean, companies are blowing those out right now, right? That's the model. Pretty much everyone has it. It doesn't matter. You could be a tech company, a B2B company. It doesn't matter what the company is. So pretty much everyone is building out that model. So the first concern is, are BDRs mature enough to work in a virtual environment? Can you train them? Can you onboard them? Can you teach them effectively out of the office, right? Or do you need to be in the office to do those things? And once again, we're working with, again, two companies looking for SDRs. One company is virtual, so they want people across the United States. And the other company is looking for people in the office. And this is different than the last example. It is night and day, right? The night and day, the level of talent we can drive now with a virtual environment is so much more advantageous. You see so many more candidates, right? You're not hiring the best of the worst because you can't get anyone. You can see so many candidates. I mean, it is just... And that's what I'm saying. It's very healthy. I think it's excellent for our economy, for these companies. And as a result, you have candidates across the United States that are being reached out to. We're doing it. And they're learning about new opportunities that they'd never seen in the past.
You know, one of the fascinating things I just thought about with this too, especially with the markets that are not the, you know, huge markets, is I think it also is a diversity aspect, not necessarily diversity in race is alone, but a diversity in culture. Like there's a certain way of thinking with somebody from like, you know, Boston or South that may not be, that's different. So if my team, my company is like saying, you know, in Silicon Slopes in Utah, it's great to, I can have folks from New York, Northeast or folks from the Midwest or folks from like Texas and in the Northwest, because it gives that unique mix amongst your team that you would not get otherwise. And and I think it's crazy thinking about the cost. Like one of my friends is moving across country, and I think it's like, I don't know, I think my jaw dropped when he was telling me how much the organization is doing, paying for him to go across country. It's like $15,000 or some crazy number. And I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. And, you know, but they come, but he's up there. So, but I'm just thinking about, imagine the costs, even if it's not that much, but it's just like relocation costs, how that's out the window. And you could take that money and reuse it for cool programs, like you're saying, like having like a wine tasting or having like a, no, with our team, we have a bunch of our team members are remote. So we're doing an Uber Eats. So we're getting, everyone's getting food delivered and we're doing a game, a team activity. And we've been adopting this before the pandemic, but it also made us find, it made it easier now to do things together because more companies are doing, more ideas are out there. So
it was the, you know, it's funny you bring that up. It was at the time the pandemic seemed very painful, right? A lot of unknown.
Bro. We laugh about it now.
You know, we just, we were trying to figure out what was going on? What are we doing, right? We're just trying to figure it out. And so we, I just tell you anything you want to know. So we had to reduce some workforce.
Yeah.
Because we were just trying to figure it out. And then we went 100% remote. And unfortunately, what's crazy is that at first, at the beginning, some people, they didn't like it. They were so used to the bullpen that this was now new. And so we lost some people because we were remote. And it was the best thing in the world for us, not losing the people. But moving to a remote model is the best thing in the world because we figured it out. And it's too bad because those people now can see how effective it is. And once we moved, oh my, it was just for many different reasons. Everything's changed for us. Our brand, we've always worked across the United States, but we have now more access to more companies across the United States than we ever have before, and access to people that live in different regions. It's just, it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
It is, it's wonderful.
Love it, man. We're coming down to the last portion here. Maybe you have some, any last advice you got down in that silver hat there, maybe a nice colorful hat. I'm just trying to think of something to go with a hat, but this nice deep hat of thought. Anything you'll pull out for us when it comes towards what sellers are looking for in 2021? Last words.
Yeah. Okay. For companies.
Let's do both. So, let's do one of each.
Yeah. I was going to say, because we have two different audiences we're talking to. All right. So for corporations, I'd say be open-minded and take advantage of this time, because as you mentioned, the pandemic has pushed us, right? I was suit and tie in the office every day. It's pushed us into a whole different world. So, you know, accept it with open arms and you'll find that the payback is going to be 10 times greater than what you could ever imagine, right? So accept it. This is where we're going. For candidates, I would say, and I'm going to revert back to something you said at the very beginning of this episode, and that was, you know, you should be considering a new opportunity when you're doing well. That's when you want the longest runway to consider options. You have the most leverage. You can negotiate for the best package, the right role, and the perfect sales job when you're happily employed. If you're not happily employed, now you're searching out of not desperation, but need. And as a result, many times you may accept the first job that is presented to you, not because it's the perfect job, but because you need a paycheck and you need to cover your bills. And so you accept it. So back to your first point, you want to keep an ear to the ground at all times, establish yourself with a really credible firm, build a relationship. You know, we have people that we work with for years. And as different opportunities come across our desk, we call them and say, hey, you told me you're looking for this. I got it. It just popped up. Would you like to hear? And they say, yeah, sure. I'll tell them who the company is and the opportunity. And if they're interested, you know, we'll make an introduction.
Yeah.
So it's always good to be selectively considering options.
Love it, man. Well, if folks out there listening to this want to get in touch with you, Dan, and to learn more about you and the great things you guys are doing over there, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
Oh, if they want, they can just email me directly. I mean, it's easy. My last name is Fantasia. So my email address is fantasia@treelineinc.com. And they can always go to our website, treelineinc.com. And if they would prefer, they can fill out a form or call the direct dial number there. Either one's fine. Doesn't matter.
Dan, man, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. Thanks for your wisdom today. And we super appreciate it, man.
Yeah, Donald, thank you so much. This was awesome. You're always great. So I really appreciate it.
Anytime, brother.
All right, man. Have a good week, huh?
You too. That was the one and only Mr. Dan Fantasia. And if you want to connect with him, you can find him on LinkedIn. You can find him also just all over social media. And as you heard in the episode today, he talked about some amazing pieces of information. The fact that all of you, many of us, we want to be able to have that remote access, the remote capabilities. And if somebody can do the job and take care of it, then why not? And I thought that was a really fascinating one. That's something we're seeing right now. There are many other points that you can probably glean from Dan. He didn't get a chance to go through all of that today, but make sure to connect with him and hit him up on social media. Reach out to him, send him an email, like he says. As always, we bring on folks like Dan. We tackle content like topics like this because we want to help you. We want you to get the best talent. We want you to be able to succeed in your role if you're a seller. We want you to find the right ideal customers. We want you to know what to say when you reach out to them. And we want to amplify your voice so you know how to close those deals. Most importantly, we want you to raise your level of thinking. We want you to go out each and every single day and do big things. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the episode today. I appreciate you. You could be doing many other things, but you sacrificed the time to be able to improve yourself and to listen to our podcast, and that means a lot. If you haven't done so already, I ask that you leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It goes a really long way when someone can come behind you and hear about the show from someone else and hit subscribe. Thank you if you can do that, and if you've done it already, it would mean a lot. I appreciate you. Also, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can get the same amazing content, but you get a chance to see us, as well as more tips, tricks, and strategies that can help you compete and to succeed as a sales rep. Our show today was produced by myself and the Sales Podcast Network. It was edited and mixed together by the one and only Mr. Jershon O'Bale. Our show notes today was created by the one and only Rael Ramirez. Our podcast guest coordinator is Mrs. May Marr. Our episode artwork and social media posts were created by Destin Cunado. Our content editor is Michelle Rushman. Our podcast production coordinator is Mrs. Shannon Rasmussen. You can find audio credits to this episode and all of the episodes in each of our show notes. And as always, I am your host, your coach, your mentor, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist. Sales Podcast Network.